studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, thank you for joining us again on Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon. And yesterday, we started a little series here on Christmas. And today, if we can, I said yesterday, pull back all of the consumerism and the market-driven society that has surrounded Christmas, we will begin to see that the Bible presents to us a far different picture than what the world does at this time of year about Jesus, about the birth of Christ, and of course, what the whole meaning of Christmas really is. And yesterday, we looked at the fact that following the fall, there had been this antagonism that had been established between the people of God and the people of Satan. There are two different peoples living in the earth. That is clearly maintained when Jesus said that certain people do the will of their father, the devil. And we know that from the entirety of the Old Testament history, the true people of God longed to bring forth their deliverer, to bring forth their Messiah. But Satan was constantly attacking the people of God because he knew that this curse that had been pronounced upon him at the fall, that one day there would be one who would come and arise out of God's people who would conquer him, who would crush his head. And so, the whole picture of the Old Testament is that Satan persecuted the people of God, represented in the Bible as a woman, laboring to bring forth her child. He persecuted the people of God to overturn that curse. This has always been his mission, especially throughout the Old Testament period. And so what we notice is throughout all the history, all throughout history, the people of God expected and were in eager expectation to see their Messiah. The church throughout all the ages lived in eager expectation that the Messiah would be born and that he would be born soon. And I guess if we did a brief survey throughout history, we really do see this right from the beginning. What was Eve's reaction to her firstborn? Eve thought that Cain was the one by whom the promise would be realized. Remember what she said, I have, quote, acquired one from the Lord, a man from the Lord. If we continue to go down the timeline, we might think of Enoch, who cried out to the people, the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have done. And so even before the flood, Eve thought that the deliverer had come in Cain. Enoch was prophesying of his imminent coming. Abraham, we read, longed to see the day of Christ, and he saw it and was glad. And of course, the prophets of Israel constantly spoke of his birth, even indicating when and where. You might think of Isaiah. We come to that very well-known prophecy. Then the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us, we can go on, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of course, at the end of that prophecy in Isaiah, we read of the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. You see, there had always been, friends, this eager anticipation for the coming of the king. The one who would sit upon David's throne forever. And what a day would that be. And so with all of this eager expectation, what anticipation, what might we expect when the true King, Jesus Christ, finally arrived on the scene of history? What do you think? Well, couldn't we at least say that there would be rejoicing in Jerusalem? Maybe gifts being given, the world celebrating, people running through the streets. Hey, the Messiah has finally come. I mean, here was the Savior who had finally been brought forth, Emmanuel, God with us. And what do we have presented to us in Matthew 2? Well, the picture is that of utter rejection of him. Antagonism, misery, hatred for the Messiah. We read in verse 18, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children. The king had finally arrived. Thousands of years of eager anticipation of deliverance from oppression. And our passage ends in lamentation, weeping, and mourning? How can this be? Then we come to chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, days of Herod the king? Do you see what the text emphasizes? I mean, the genealogies are very clear with that curse that none of David's descendants would reign on the throne. If you look through those genealogies, there was a curse pronounced when we study it out. You might think that the people of Israel would say, all right, then we will wait patiently to see what God will do because of the promise made to David. But what do we find? In the fact that the one who was sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, the place of David's throne, was an imposter. Notice the emphasis, and if you have your Bibles open, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, and of course scripture tells us that Herod was the king of Judea, he was in the direct control of the Jews, God's chosen people. He thought of himself as the great king of the Jews. History tells us that he prided himself with this title. But who was Herod the Great? Interestingly, Herod had been given control of the Jewish province, and he wasn't even a Jew. He was an Edomite. That, interestingly, flows back to the line of Esau. Now, isn't that something? The one sitting on David's throne in Jerusalem was a descendant of Esau? Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, says God. He was not the ideal ruler of the king of Judea. He was not even of the Davidic line, nor of the covenant made with Abraham. He had obtained this position through crafty deception and Roman appointment. We know that it was a great struggle for Herod to obtain his royal position. His appointment developed from the resulting of conflicts that had played out from what was known as the Maccabean Revolt. And so proudly he clang and honored himself with the title King of the Jews, for he thought he had earned it. And why not? The title had been given to him from Rome. Now we can then get a sense for how much he must have despised any threat to his royal title King of the Jews. And it doesn't help when you're the kind of person who he was, who was obsessed with possible threats to his throne. He was the one who was constantly harboring suspicions of conspiracies to take his throne. Back then, assassinations, of course, were common, even by members of your own family. It's been said that there were 10 conspirators who tried to assassinate Herod, and when he found out, he tortured them and killed them horrendously. He knew that the Jews thought him to be an outsider, and they were greatly suspicious of him since he was not a Jew. According to history, Herod the Great was a cruel person, fearing the threat of many to take his throne. He was said to have murdered his wife and two sons. And we know that in order to keep his rule, he had thought it was his right to slaughter all male infants. This was a wicked, wicked king. Now, we can see how this king would have been greatly opposed to any threat. And the main point here when we read, here was Herod the king, is that Satan had his king on the throne in Zion, the capital of God's people, the place where the promises were made, Jerusalem. But he knew that there was a promise of another to come. This is exactly the description given in Revelation 12, where we read a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, a fiery red dragon. And then we read this, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. All of history is described, my friends, as one great war, one great battle for the birth of Christ, culminating in Satan's King Herod on David's throne attacking the true king. Now, with this background, can we understand the antagonism? Scripture records for us that here are these wise men or magi who come asking, "Where is he who has been born?" Now, don't miss this. King of the Jews. What went through the mind of Herod? Well, what we read is that when Herod heard this, this implies that the news of another king was not a private matter, but it hit the streets of Jerusalem. He was filled with anger. But what a glorious scene presented to us. What must have gone through their minds? Well, maybe it was something like this. Psalm 48:2. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. And then Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. That's what Christmas is all about. That the true king has come, and that it was a war for his birth, but that this king is the just king. He is the one who is just and has salvation. Do you believe in this king today? Have you given your life to him, submitting and bowing your knee? If not, you will bow on that day when it's too late in judgment, bowing before him then. But if you will bow now, he will be the king of your life, and you will receive justice and salvation from the redemptive hand of the true king, Jesus Christ. Today we have worship services at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Would you join us for worship at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught as Christ is preached in season and out of season to weary sinners who need this one message that is able to save your soul. Visit us on the web, www.lindenurc.com, or you may call 360-318-0429. May this King Jesus Christ be the only one whom you believe in for salvation from the wrath to come.